It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And indeed, visiting with the outstanding journalist, writer who covers the Padres for The Athletic, Dennis Lynn, here on Gwen and Chris. And Dennis, let's start with the weekend and, you know, what the Padres were able to accomplish, taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, not just this time, but now for a second time this season. It's still May. The Dodgers are still comfortably ahead in the standings. But what does... did they say anything at all to the Dodgers in beating them for a second series this year?
I think it's certainly better than the alternative, right? Yeah, you're winning against a team that kind of dominated you, at least in the regular season, for years and years. So the confidence boost that comes from that and just having kind of a template when you go into the next matchup with those guys. And obviously we've seen that the Padres can beat the Dodgers in a short series in the postseason. But it's a long season. The Dodgers obviously have kind of unparalleled depth, but to show that you can, you know, play your best baseball in really 2 or 3 series early this year against those guys, I think that's a big statement to make near the start of the year.
Dennis, you were here for all 3 of the games, and you've been here over the past, you know, however many years this Dodger-Padre rivalry has kind of kicked into a different gear. What did you think? What did you see different over this weekend that you may have not seen over the, you know, past few years?
Well, I'd start with just the walk-off hit by Luis Ariz, who's been a huge addition, at least for the lineup, and just the fact that in kind of the previous matchups that we've seen over the past few years, it seemed like the Dodgers are always the ones capitalizing in those moments and kind of pouncing on mistakes. And, yes, it did happen to the Padres on Saturday with, the bullpen kind of melting down again, but that's going to happen at times. But when you get your chances, you got to take them. And the Padres did that over the last three games.
Dennis, is there anything different you're seeing about this Padre team this year as opposed to what you've seen in recent years? I mean, we know that a few years ago they did make the playoff run, but this team, I don't know if it's too early to know this, but it seems like they got a little better vibe, and maybe it's Mike Schilt, maybe it's just the group that they have this year, but I mean, 21-20 seems like it's going to lead to something better.
Yeah, you would certainly hope so. If you're the Padres, you would hope that Fernando Tatis and Xander Bogaerts especially and Manny Machado, they all start hitting, and maybe you're not going to get this type of production from Jake Cronenworth and Jurickson Profar all year, but it does seem like a more balanced team, maybe a more coherent roster, and the pitching, as we saw over the last 4 games, does certainly have a pretty high ceiling when things are clicking. But I just go back to the fact that it just seems like the pieces fit together a little better this year. They still have that star power. They certainly have had to make things, they've had to be just a little bit more creative against the payroll. Some of the constraints they put on themselves this year, but it seems like, yeah, maybe just guys moving guys around or moving the guy off the team and, you know, importing a guy like Luis Ariz or, you know, Dylan Cease has also been really good so far. Maybe the pieces just fit better together.
Dennis Lynn joins us here, The Athletic, and Dennis, you know, as we get into game 42 today, we're talking about this Padre team a little bit differently than when we started the season. There was question marks, left field, designated hitter, possibly rotation, possibly – actually, the bullpen probably was one of the least things that they needed to address coming into the season. Now, here we are, 42, 43 games into the season. Has that changed from your perspective? I assume DH, left field have gotten to a spot where, at least for now, it doesn't necessarily need to be addressed. But for you, from looking from the outside, where is that spot that needs to be addressed? Or have you seen it, you know, develop in a way that, you know, they may not need to address it?
No, I think you're right, Tony. The bullpen, yeah, I mean, I thought it was going to be a little steadier than it's been, although Robert Suarez has been, I think, better than all expectations would have led you to believe going into the season. But, I mean, in center field, for example, Jackson Merrill's really solidified that spot as a guy who's never played that position before, and he's obviously holding his own on offense as well. So they've had, I think, on balance, more positive or more surprising developments than the negative ones. But I go back to the bullpen, and I think maybe just from an overarching standpoint, the depth of the roster, what happens if one of your starters goes down? We've already seen that a couple times with Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove. Like, who picks them up? And now you have a slightly more shallow farm system to deal from, if that's what AJ Preller's going to do again, possibly for, you know, another reliever, another starter before the trade deadline. So I think, yeah, the depth is probably something that will come up throughout the year. And go back to the Dodgers, that's just what they have in spades, because right now seems like they're missing half their pitching staff, but they were still able to hold the Padres to, I think, 6 runs over the past 3 games. So it seems like the Padres are in a pretty good spot. I just think we'll have to check back a month or two from now and kind of see where things are at.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic is with us. Appreciate the time as always, Dennis. Let me ask you about Mike Shildt. Your thoughts on Mike Shildt, you know, obviously got to know him a little bit the last couple of years as part of this organization, but what did you think about Mike Shildt coming into this season as a manager, and how has that either changed, or how has Mike Shildt made you kind of keep on believing the same thing in your time spent with him?
Well, I think you take a guy who obviously had success in St. Louis, going to the postseason several times, and I think even in 2020 when he came to Petco with the Cardinals, and, you know, the Padres obviously won that series in postseason. You might remember, like, those guys, they played, like, I think a bunch of, like, 53 games or something in 44 days. It was crazy. So they were kind of fried by the time they got to Petco, but they still put up a, you know, pretty competitive fight against the Padres. So he seems to have a way of, you know, getting guys to buy into, you know, small things leading to big things, and don't try to, you know, get ahead of yourselves. I know every manager preaches that, but just, you know, remember, just like they lost 5 in a row and blew a game in Colorado that they, I think it was like one of the biggest leads the Padres have blown in the eighth inning or later in like 40 years. So, you know, that doesn't feel like too long ago, but like what's happened since then, they've played better in pretty much all facets, and you're starting to see some of the little things, the details, the little details that were stressed early in the season start leading to more consistency. So I think he's proved that, you know, he can take a talented group of guys and get them to maybe buy into things that they weren't typically doing. Now we'll see if he can, you know, hold it through the course of a long season, but certainly the first couple of months of the season will lead you to believe that, you know, he's got a way of, you know, just getting through to guys in terms of just emphasizing fundamentals and little details.
Yeah, the buy-in does seem to be at a higher level than I feel like we've seen in the past. Dennis Lynn joins us here via The Athletic. And Dennis, you know, the Padres already, you mentioned the Luis Arraez move. They made that move and relatively early in those, you know, considering where we are in the season. At what point do you think the market starts to shape up? Because right now, if you look at the standings, there ain't a lot of teams out of it at this point. So, you know, will that take longer for the market to develop in terms of the trade deadline because there are so many teams in it? Will we be waiting to the last minute to kind of figure out who thinks they're in it, who's not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, Memorial Day traditionally is used by a lot of front offices, maybe not the Padres this year, is kind of, well, let's step back and gauge where we're at and maybe make some big picture decisions from there. Obviously, the Padres have already made those two big moves you alluded to, and that's, I don't think that's ever really happened in baseball modern history, just like two players of that magnitude, Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez getting acquired. Bay or Cinco de Mayo, whatever you want to call it. More teams jockeying for playoff position than in most years in the past when there weren't, you know, 12 spots open, but also maybe create some openings for sellers and make it a seller's market, which I think it kind of was last summer. So I think there still are teams who are going to be realistic about their chances heading into the trade deadline. So that's going to open some things up. But yeah, I think if you're looking at teams making decisions like the Marlins already have made to kind of tear it down, I don't know how many teams are doing that outside of like maybe the White Sox and maybe one or two other teams, the Rockies. But I don't know how much those teams have to sell right now. I just think it's going to take a little bit longer to get a sense of which other teams might join them. But I still think there's definitely going to be sellers when we get closer to July.
Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Dennis, as always, really nice catching up with you. Look forward to seeing you out at the ballpark. Thanks for your great insight on the Padres. And keep up the good work, man. We'll talk to you soon and catch up with you down the road.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.